Well, all the environmental attention this week has been on the Great Barrier Reef. You might have just heard Marion Wilkinson on Saturday AM on it. But another pretty significant decision was also taken across the country in the East Pilbara in WA, where one of the more exciting and ambitious clean energy projects, the Asian Renewable Energy Hub, had an unexpected setback. The Federal Environment Minister, Susan Lee, told the hub's consortium, a group of local and international investors, that an amendment they'd proposed was environmentally unacceptable, and she sent them back to the drawing board. Now, the concern for the renewables industry is not so much the decision, but the suddenness of it. There was little warning, apparently. It all felt very odd, and it's making clean energy investors jittery. Kane Thornton's the CEO of the Clean Energy Council, which represents companies working in or supporting that sector. Good morning.
Oh, good morning to you, Geraldine.
Could you refresh listeners, please, quickly on this giant energy hub, which it's essentially a hub for renewable hydrogen for export, isn't it? It's part of this whole dream of us possibly being a renewable superpower.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This is an incredible and transformational project. And what it's designed to do is to meet the extraordinary demand that we're seeing from across the world, but particularly in the Asian region, for zero emissions energy. And Australia, you know, we've obviously got an extraordinary opportunity. We've got some of the best wind and solar anywhere in the world. And so this project is about taking advantage of that wind and solar that we have, using it to produce hydrogen, in fact, produce a version of hydrogen, ammonia.
Green ammonia
and exporting it out to those, well, but both using it in Western Australia, in parts of Australia, but then also exporting it out to the Asian region.
Now, just for some specifics, there's a desal facility required to make fresh water, which you need to make hydrogen. So you need quite a lot of electricity for that. So there's a wind and solar project alongside, isn't it? All of this is part of the brew.
Yeah, exactly. There's a desalination project to basically produce fresh water. And in producing hydrogen, essentially what you need is a lot of electricity, renewable electricity, of course, from wind and solar. You use that electricity through something called an electrolyzer, which splits the water out into hydrogen and oxygen. And then obviously the hydrogen gets further treated to produce ammonia and then essentially shipped out into Asia.
So what you have, your undersea pipelines going off the coast.
Yeah, the project in producing that green ammonia, that ammonia will then be piped from the project out across the shore, about 20 kilometres out into the ocean, into Commonwealth waters. And at that point, it will then be essentially put onto ships and exported.
Now, construction was due to start in 2026 with first exports the next year. The developers lodged an amendment, didn't they, to produce this green ammonia. Is this what is the sticking point?
Yes, so this project has been around for a while. The developer is working hard to progress both the design of the project but also through the approvals process. And so what they've now done is submitted this as essentially as an expanded project. But right. The interesting thing about the stage that they're in is really what they've asked for is something called a referral, which is basically a request to say, here's the updated project. We'd now like to refer it to what's quite a complex environmental approvals process with the Commonwealth Government, which is really a process that then allows them to study all of the different elements of the environmental impacts from this project, do some very detailed studies to understand and explore those, to consider how the project might manage those. Before then, it's ultimately, you know, put in front of the government for approval. And so what's highly unusual in this situation is that the minister, rather than saying, yes, we understand the expanded project and the issues that you've outlined here that need further study, it's a highly unusual situation. The minister at this point has said no. No, we're not going to continue and refer this project through those environmental studies. At this point, has made
it's
a call
a
that,
no.
that the expanded project wouldn't go further through
now,
the process in this form.
What's really intriguing is that basically this expanded project would involve what's called a Ramsar, R-A-M-S-A-R. It's a listed site around the 80-mile beach up there, and Ramsar is the International Convention to Protect Wetlands. Now, most of us probably wouldn't want a wetland site affected. What do you know, Kane, about how well, and that's what she has said. The minister has said clearly there's an impact and, you know, that she's closed the door, well, sort of. How well do you think the consortium had planned around that?
Well, I think firstly that the consortium was well aware of the Ramsar and obviously the sensitivities that go with it. And they'd done detailed work in understanding how the project might be designed to minimise any impact on that Ramsar. But again, I guess to emphasise, you know, understanding in detail how the project might impact on that area and exploring ways in which those impacts could be mitigated are exactly what was proposed in the next step of this project. Now, there is no, you know, there's no doubt, you know, any project in Australia of any form has some environmental footprint and impact. And the proponent was well aware of that. In fact, you know, there were a lot of plans about how they might mitigate that.
Already in discussion about this, were they?
Oh, of course. They, you know, they fully understood that this is something they need to be sensitive of in ways in which, you know, where the pipelines might be located, how far underground they might be buried. In fact, when they might do the construction activity to avoid any impact on the migratory bird life that's in the region. So these are all the issues that the proponent well understood. They've been working, you know, very closely with the Western Australian government and the Commonwealth on these issues. And again, recognising that at this stage, they weren't requesting approval of the project. What they were doing is outlining the issues that would be the basis of the next phase of very extensive studies and planning and analysis that would make sure that the proponent and indeed the minister and the government fully understood all of the implications of this project to then inform a decision. And again, it's highly unusual that the minister at this point in time, of rather than saying, actually, there's a few other issues we'd like you to look at in the next stage of providing a relatively blunt no and refusing to proceed through that environmental study.
The federal government had given the project major project status, which is, you know, because it theoretically can fast track things. And obviously you say there'd been what appeared to be close collaboration. Then this decision came out of the blue. And by the sound of the minister in Perth, Alana McTiernan, the very formidable Minister for Hydrogen, Alana McTiernan, this decision appears to have occurred with no meaningful engagement by the federal government with either the proponent or the state. So what do you think has happened?
Well, look, I can't answer that question. I think that's a question for the minister. But you're exactly right in that, you know, it was late last year the project was awarded major project status, and that was very welcome. I mean, it's worth noting that as part of that status, there's a commitment from the Commonwealth Government to extra support and coordination and facilitation of federal approvals. Now, again, I guess that status and that commitment seems inconsistent with the decision that's been made and the nature in which it's been made at this point in time. So it certainly is of concern. You know, it's of concern, obviously, to the industry more broadly. And, you know, we know that the proponent is reflecting on this and, you know, still working hard to find a way forward. They want to work constructively with the government and find a way to move forward with this project. But it is a concern to investors, both here in Australia
and around
the world. Well,
she says, that's what she says, you know, Alana McTiernan says, this sends the wrong message about Australia as a leader in the emerging renewable hydrogen industry with potentially far-reaching implications for people considering investing in hydrogen in Australia. Now, you know, they're pretty strong words.
Yeah, and look, you know, it's worth noting, I mean, you know, obviously, issues around climate change and clean energy have been deeply political and divisive and difficult here in the country. But the opportunity for Australia as a global clean energy superpower and exporter of renewable hydrogen is widely accepted. Indeed, you know, the Prime Minister just in the last couple of weeks, both at G7 and also on his travels through Singapore, spoke very widely about the enormous opportunity for Australia to deliver renewable energy in the form of hydrogen into Asia and beyond. And this project is at the forefront of this. This is a real lighthouse project that shines the way on the future and the scale of that opportunity. I mean, we're not asking for projects like this to have any shortcuts. We just want them to be treated reasonably and fairly, consistent with the legislation, consistent with how other projects might be treated. But, you know, the questions that are posed from this decision and the way it's been handled, it does raise questions, particularly when we see the continued silly debates about net zero emissions by 2050 or not, and a whole range of other very divisive political issues in this country.
Mm. Look, finally, I wonder how you do think it might affect investor sentiment. Hasn't there a report just come out from the Clean Energy Regulator this week finding that investment in wind and solar has slowed dramatically in the last quarter?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we've had some really strong levels of investment over the last, you know, 2 or 3 years. But investors, you know, they've got options. There's, you know, every country in the world is pushing hard. They've got strong targets. They've got strong policy to support investment and give them confidence. And unfortunately, we're missing that part of the puzzle here in Australia. And investors, you know, they weigh things up. They look at, you know, the uncertainty around and the lack of clarity on decisions like this. It means that there's a lot of risk and there's a lot of uncertainty. And unfortunately, that means at the moment investors are sitting on their hands here in Australia. They're not standing still, though, because they're going to dozens of other countries around the world where, you know, it's very clear and there's very strong political and policy support for investment in things like wind and solar.
Well, I see there was a huge announcement this week by Ambani, India's richest man, I think saying he's going to plunge over time $10 billion into renewable energy, an extraordinary statement. We have also got that hub in the Northern Territory, haven't we, with people like Mike Cannon-Brooks from Atlassian and Twiggy Forrest and so on are involved in. So, I mean, they're not completely sitting on their hands, are they?
No. Look, I think any investor, you don't need to be that smart to realise that the future is going to be renewable energy. It's going to be wind and solar and exporting that renewable energy into Asia. It's an enormous opportunity. It is inevitable.
And by the way, are there jobs there or is it just big capital?
Well, there's enormous jobs. And, you know, the project we were just talking about, the Asian Renewable Energy Hub, the proposal there is that it would be 20,000 jobs through the construction phase over 10 years. Now, that's as many jobs as we have in the coal mining industry here in Australia. So one project alone, 20,000 jobs over 10 years. So there are massive jobs, and particularly out in parts of Australia, you know, rural and regional parts of Australia where these jobs are incredibly valuable. So, yeah, I think investors know that this is where it's going. The long term is very, very clear. There are a lot of smart investors putting money into exploring these sorts of projects, but they need government to, at the very least, get out of the way, if not, you know, actively lean in and support and facilitate and help them. They don't need government subsidy. They don't need government money. They just need government to work constructively to, you know, to help address some of the barriers, to help facilitating things like the environmental processes for these projects.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Interesting story. Kane Thornton, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for your time, Geraldine. Cheers.
And Kane Thornton is the CEO of the Clean Energy Council.